y'all. I'm Katie Gannaway, the host of this show, Arts Underground. Alex Z is our guest today on our newest installment of our series on local comedians. Funny you should ask. He is the brilliant mind behind local comedy staples like Fusion Comedy, the videographer for the Clown College podcast. He's made several appearances on comedy shows like Don't Tell Comedy and Epic Comedy Hour. Welcome, Alex. Bow down, bow down.
Booyah. Booyah. That's an incredible intro. Way better than whatever Dom or they do for me.
Well, gotta give you credentials right out front, right?
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. It's crazy to hear it all listed out.
Well, I mean, you had to list it out yourself on your website, right?
Yeah, but that's for the industry.
Quote unquote, the industry.
Yeah, that's the industries.
Speaking of, the questions I have today, don't be scared.
Okay.
Because I am not a stalker.
Okay.
I read your website. And watch some video clips and yeah.
This will be a good reminder for what I put on there. Like it's the new year's coming up. It's time for a refresh.
Yeah. A purge, if you will. So like I said, it has so much information on your website. So the first thing, you were born in Baltimore, is that right?
Yeah, Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay. Then you went to the Midwest. Then you came to Huntsville. Talk about that transition.
Okay. Yeah. I was born in Baltimore. That's where my family, my mom's side's Chinese, and that's where my grandma landed when she came over in the 60s. A lot of my aunt and uncle still live there. And that's where I spent up until 10. And then we moved out into the middle of nowhere in Indiana.
So Indiana?
It was like, it was a big change from like Baltimore to a town with like 4,000 people in it.
What brought you to Indiana?
My stepdad's job.
Okay.
Yeah. He worked and brought us out of the city into the country. That's where I learned I was Asian in that transition.
How so?
Just a town full of white people. They'll let you know. Yeah. But it was all right. They ended up accepting me. I won them over with my charm.
But then you got to Huntsville. How'd you get to Huntsville?
Yeah. So again, stepdad's job. But the pandemic is what brought me to Huntsville.
Oh.
I was just hanging out. Trying to do comedy in Kentucky, which is where I moved after Indiana, for those keeping track of the lore. So I was just hanging out, like, just bumming around, working at an Olive Garden. And then the pandemic happened, and I guess I could have kept working at the Olive Garden in retrospect. I decided to just move in with my parents, hunker down for the pandemic, and that's what brought me to Huntsville. They were down here for work as well. And I ended up loving Huntsville. Huntsville's an amazing city. And I feel like then to now, like after the pandemic, after the pandemic, air quotes.
Well, yeah.
After the lockdowns up until now, and the opportunity in Huntsville is just incredible. And so I'm feeling that in the comedy, seeing that all around with this stuff as well. So
what inspired you to get into comedy? Because again, on the website... It says that you felt you had no skills after high school and you kind of just wanted to pursue comedy. What inspired that?
So me and my buddy, shout out my buddy John. We would, in high school, we would hang out. One of the local hangouts was this bookstore called Hastings. And we used to hang out outside in the parking lot listening to stand-up.
Okay.
And doing nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm winking.
We'd
hang out in the parking lot and we'd be listening to stand up and we were always the clowns. We'd always be trying to make our friends laugh and listening to stand up on Pandora and high school ending. Those two things coincided. And I just realized like that it fit doing comedy or doing something comedy related at the very least was a goal. I didn't know how to pursue it at the time efficiently.
Yeah.
But definitely learning from then to now. I'm learning, I think.
Did you have any sort of comedy heroes growing up that you wanted to emulate?
Definitely at the beginning, Andy Kaufman. Do you know Andy Kaufman? Yeah. So,
of course.
And I think I'm realizing that's a common new comedian thing. He blows people's minds when they see him. Just the fact that he can do nothing and be hilarious.
Because he's still alive.
Exactly. He is still alive. Yeah, definitely Andy Kaufman,
That's a cool inspiration, I think.
It's cool in theory. In practice, it's very rarely is it pulled off right, yeah. I've noticed. A lot of comedians, when they start, it seems like they want to either shock and awe or confuse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something Andy Kaufman did amazingly, right? He executed it very well. But there were probably a lot of times at the beginning where Andy Kaufman tried it and it went, it was cringe, you know what I mean? So, and that's what you see a lot of times in
the real world. But it's a good jumping off point.
No, it is. Yeah. It shows you what where the line is, right? You know what I mean? You find that out real quick, hopefully.
Yeah. I mentioned before you do videography for Clown College podcast, and the name of your production company, Mandarin House. Talk about that backstory there.
Okay. Yeah. So my grandma, when she moved over, she tried to go to a vocational sort of training thing for like sewing or whatever, but she ended up opening a Chinese restaurant.
Okay.
I don't know how that went around her and my grandpa, but it was called Mandarin House.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's what I named it after. I thought it was, and it sounds like a Chinese restaurant, Mandarin House. So that was kind of funny. It fit.
Yeah.
It fit the brand.
Obviously, you do stand up first, but what sort of passion do you have being behind the scenes?
I've always felt that I was good at supporting funny people. Like, you know, I like doing my own stand up, but I definitely have always felt good with a partner or.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been so much of a team in the past, but now there's a team, and that's really, it's really good. Like to have it's one thing to have the comedy community that we're all pursuing stand up together.
Mm-hmm.
But like me and the Clown College guys, Dom, JJ, Brandon, Jack, shout out, the invisible camera. We all have a singular, more specific thing we're going towards, and that's a real fun energy.
So go back to when you first got into stand-up. Like what you said that you were into Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
What was your first gig like?
Right after high school, I moved back to Baltimore because I thought that's where more opportunity was than where we were in Kentucky. But I was 18 years old, so it's not like I could get into a lot of bars without showing ID or whatever. So there were a couple open mics that I was able to get on. And another shout out, Chris Durham, musician in Baltimore. He allowed me to do like in between segments at his music open mic.
That's cool.
Way more than I deserve. It was ridiculous. And I squandered that opportunity. It was so ridiculous what I did. It wasn't even comedy because I didn't know how to do it, right? But no, I would. That's where I kind of just got practice being in front of people. And that's something I feel pretty comfortable in. Like, even if I do badly on stage, like, I'm comfortable being on there, like, finally, you know?
Yeah. You were talking about you feel comfortable as a team.
Yeah.
Right? So, another comedian, I think you mentioned, Brandon Willis.
Yeah.
You do fusion comedy over at Fat Sammy's downtown Huntsville.
Yeah, he's the, we're black, we have a comedy, we call our comedy production, you know, little duo, Black Panther, Hidden Dragon.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. It was originally Jalen Brown. Shout out, he moved away. And Brandon.
I liked him very much.
Yeah, Jalen's a mystical man, and I love him.
Can you talk about that space and the vibe that you've created down there for those nights?
Yeah, so.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
How it differs from just going to like a dive bar or something like that? Because Fat Sammy's is much more than that.
Yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Fat Sammy's, if you don't know, it's the bar in downtown Huntsville with a right side up pineapple above its door.
Very.
Y'all know what that means.
Distinguished.
Tropical. But yeah. Pineapple on top of the door, and it's a downstairs bar, and it's like Asian tiki themed, and their food it reflects that. It's a fusion, Asian inspired, tropical inspired menus and cocktails. And just
legit.
Just the decor is like it's like a cargo cult, like TGI Fridays, you know,
right,
like it's great,
but so much better.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally dig it. And we walk down there because one of the comedians in town, Scott Terrell, just it ended at our Wednesday mic ended at Fusion Barbecue. That's
okay.
Where the name comes from. Fusion.
But it's with a PH.
With a
now.
PH because of Fat Sammy's.
Yeah,
exactly. And we're acidic. Is that high PH?
Yes.
I don't know.
You were asking the wrong person.
Never mind. That joke didn't. Okay. But so we got a hint that Fat Sammy's was interested in a Wednesday mic. And the second me and Jalen stepped down there, we were like, oh, Yeah, obviously this works mm-hmm. with the whole vibe. And Wednesdays are traditionally, you know, hump day. That seems like when the most Wednesday and Thursday seem like when the most comedians come out. So it's mm-hmm. it's become a fun hangout for sure.
Are you performing to other comedians, or are you performing to, like, are people invested? Like,
yeah,
when you do that.
So Fat Sammy's definitely does. There are mics where it is only comedians show
yeah.
up.
And kind of like Salty Nut was.
Yes, for yeah. sure. Salty Nut suffered from that. And definitely the vibe at Fat Sammy's helps, just because yeah. people walk in, they come down, they're interested.
With your filming background, do you hope to take that to a higher level? Like, do you hope to take your company to, like, Comedy Central and be like, hey, I got this, I can do this for you? Or do you want to keep it more local?
No, definitely. Definitely keep it local, because I love Huntsville. This is where even if I were to blow up, as the youngins say, I think I would stay in Huntsville. Huntsville's a great base. It's central to a lot of southern cities. Mm-hmm. There's an airport now that goes a lot of places. So definitely yes to that, but also no, that's how Workaholics blew up. Like, they filmed the pilot for Workaholics and presented it to Comedy Central, and
right.
And you know, they got their own show. They're all three very successful now. So yeah, that's definitely not excluding that. My goal has always been to another young phrase, to get good,
mm-hmm.
and then hopefully people will just notice. You know, that's yeah. how I've gone about things so far. And and so it's worked out for me so far. Mm-hmm. That's probably a little bit of a longer play than, you know, being proactive and approaching people for opportunities. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't want to seem too beggy, you know?
Yeah, I got it.
There's a balance, though, I think, for sure.
I wonder, do you have a standout show that you've done that was good or bad or in between, something like a gig that you've performed at on stage?
Good or bad?
Good or bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did a show in Amory, Mississippi. It was three yeah. hours away, and
ooh.
It was at the Rib Shack. And it was mm-hmm. it was a comedy competition where the winner got $100. You know, fair. That's a nice prize for comedy.
And some ribs?
And yes, a meal.
Okay.
The performer's got a meal. But the winner gets $100, but gets to host the next time.
No.
Wait. Right. So
hold
that's
on.
Not really a prize, right? That's a weird, wait a minute.
That's a job.
Exactly. And
with no pay.
And somehow, the yeah. like Huntsville comedians were tapped for this. So like
okay.
for like 3-4 months, each month, there were Huntsville comedians. It's 3 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Driving, and the winner gets/has to host the next time.
As bad as that sounds, though, like, that's kind of interesting that they specifically wanted Huntsville comedians.
Well,
that has to say something about our community here.
No,
right?
Yes, for yeah. sure. It shows something about our community that we have people willing to do that, for sure, and that, you know, are able to win a crowd over there, for sure. Because
mm-hmm.
that was, I'm jumping ahead, but that was a feat. yeah. It just so happened that, like, the first winner was, or like, the person that set it up was from around here
mm-hmm.
and therefore booked people from around here. And then
gotcha.
The winners. So it wasn't necessarily the Huntsville, so, which we are. We're very funny. But yeah, we sort of got roped into it too, which is hilarious.
What is the Nasty Ranch?
Oh, Lord.
I would love to know what that is.
Okay. So
another gem on your website.
Yeah, so I've always been fascinated how, like, I guess it's specifically online people have this, but, you know, people have their own communities, their own little mm-hmm. fandoms, different names for, like, their Discord is specifically where this came from, a little chat room website for gamers. But, yeah, the Nasty Ranch is a name for that. It came, mm-hmm. I don't even remember exactly where it came from, but I know it's my friend. Oh, I remember now. It was my friend William White, shout out, back in Kentucky. He had a GroupMe with him and his work friends and me called the Nasty Ranch.
Okay.
And like many of my funniest ideas, I stole it from him.
I wonder if you ever work out comedy sets that you're working on, like material that you're working
on? So I've always thought that that would be a fantastic way to, just like with podcasting, I've known some comedians do that. Like I've heard some comedians, they've talked about something on a podcast, it becomes a bit. But I asked some streamers, I'm like, do you do stand-up? Because obviously some of these streamers are charismatic, hilarious, right? Like they're very funny. One of them did say yes. He lived overseas. He was British. It's not a common thing. The crossover is not as common as you'd think. We are starting to see it with TikTokers, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're starting to do comedy. That's how Matt Rife was kind of, well, he's been doing comedy, but that's how he was discovered. That's how he was sort of blew up most recently. Levity Live will book TikTokers and stuff. And they're starting to do comedy. We have a guy in the scene who had Matthew Lumbra. He had a big following online initially. Hmm. And he's a very good comic. He's doing stand-up also. He's one of the exceptions. You know, he's actually funny stand-up and also a social media guy. Yeah, but just weird that the crossover isn't as there.
Of all the roles that you play in the comedy scene... all your entrepreneurial efforts. What brings you the most joy and satisfaction? Where is your passion?
Seeing comics get good is really cool. Like, and definitely it happened pretty quick with, again, the Clown College guys are a good example. They all three pretty much started at the same time, all four, including Jack. And just seeing then to now, like they were already funny, right? Like, and that's why I talk to them. I don't talk to people that aren't funny. But just seeing them polish up their old jokes, I love seeing people come up with new jokes. It's so funny. You have to take a step back though, because I get distracted by that, and I don't work on my own stuff. So
I was gonna say, how do you get good?
I get good by just repetition, and I get good by just living life. Like I can't force anything. I've noticed about myself, I gotta let it happen. But definitely just by repetition for me and getting comfortable being myself.
I know a lot of comedy is hyperbolic. Have you ever seen or thought about doing comedy that was purely just 100% true?
So talking on stage, doing stand-up, it's different than just public speaking.
Right.
And I don't know how, I haven't figured out.
Well, it's storytelling, kind of.
Right. Yeah, it's that. And I haven't figured out how to articulate it exactly. But the second you do it, you realize it. You're like, oh, I can't just talk. You got to do something, filter it somehow to the audience. There are comics that do it, right? I feel like Mike Birbiglia is one of those that just is able, or his.
But there's
his
still some embellishments.
True. So are you thinking there are moth stories that are funny, right?
Yeah.
That kind of.
Mm-hmm. The Moth Radio Hour shout out.
Shout out on WLRH.
Ooh,
where we are.
Thanks.
I listen when I'm door dashing.
Oh.
But yeah, I think definitely for sure it's possible. And it's just hard to tell stories from your, it's just harder than you think to tell. So I don't focus on that as much. But I've been trying to recently, stories, yeah.
What are you working on right now? What's a project that you have going on that you're proud of?
I've wondered, and this is a question maybe viewers or listeners can answer. I've always wondered where all the Asians are in Huntsville.
Yeah.
Because it's City of Engineers, right? And I've noticed when I do Asian material, because the way, I don't even know how to articulate it correctly, but I've just noticed it doesn't connect when I do it. Mm. The initial way, my gut reaction to do the material, it doesn't hit. So approaching that from a different direction, from a more relatable direction to the non-initiated, to Asian culture, there's just a lot of stories from my life that I'll be able to tell that I'll be able to make funny.
Do you think that there is a fair amount of diversity in the audiences you see, though?
The audiences aren't a problem. The comedians are a little male-heavy, but that's to be expected. It's a more... that's just statistics, I think. But we can always offset the balance. Anyone who wants to do comedy, we're a very welcoming gang.
You are. Yeah. You really are.
It's not boys only, for sure.
No. So you just mentioned Moth Radio Hour.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but you said that you love Radiolab, Bullseye, things like
Absolutely.
That. This American Life. And you said those were foundational for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything you hear on NPR inspire anything in your comedy?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Just help you develop as a person. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. So Radiolab, as an example, I think I've brought this up with you before, but their ability to take the obscure and make it relatable, I really like that idea. You'll notice this at open mics, there are common themes and topics that comedians focus on, and it's a breath of fresh air and very refreshing when there are comedians that are able to take a very obscure experience or observation and make the audience like on the same page at the end of the joke, and it's very fun.
Yeah.
So definitely that just off the beaten path stuff. It's definitely NPR and those shows definitely help me or steer me in that direction, right? Like just not the run of the mill.
I would love to hear you on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I think you would be a wonderful panelist.
I've only caught that a little bit. That's one of those that I don't tune into as often. But
that's okay.
I know it's a fun one with guests.
It's a comedy podcast.
Yeah. Shout out Elvis Mitchell.
What would you say is your biggest overall goal in comedy? Like, where do you see yourself, like, where you're like, I made it, I feel good about this?
I think in a business sense, I think when there are random accounts reposting your videos,
yeah.
I think that would be crazy. I guess, but for personally, I think, I don't know if I'd ever feel this completely, but I definitely, a goal is to be what I would have wanted to see, like mm-hmm. what would have inspired me to do comedy. I want to be that mm-hmm. for people. That would be cool. Like,
yeah.
not for people, but for, like, I think that would be a good, with the reels now, I think that's very, it'd be very easy to just drop into people's lives and be able to affect them in that way. Like, yeah, just kind of that.
What's something that you wish were a little bit different? Something that could improve in the comedy scene?
You don't gotta shock them. Like, you can be whatever kind of funny you want to be. Like, you can, or that's not even the right way. Like, you can do any kind of comedy. Like, you can do horribly crude or horribly racist comedy. You can. There is a way to do that.
You can do anything.
Well, you can't. There is a way in the universe to do it and it be funny and you not be, air quotes, canceled or whatever. There is a way. It's just that people aren't willing to do that. They just want to be racist. They want to say a racist thing, want to say a crude thing.
What's the difference there? I think I want to understand better.
I think the intense part of it, like that, yeah. that clouds it up for people.
Are you talking in the arm of the shock value?
Yeah, shock value or shock value for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just don't. There are ways to get the audience's attention. There are ways to get them on your side, even if they wouldn't be like. And it's just work. It just takes practice, and it just doesn't seem like even from the bottom to the top. It just seems like there are some people that aren't willing to work at it. They just want to do their thing, or they're just old and too successful. You know what I mean? Which, whatever.
And I do realize, like, race is sort of, like, a very prevalent thing in some people stand up. Where is the line between someone who is not that race, you know,
definitely,
talking the same?
Definitely understanding. Like, if...
Okay.
If you've grown up around Asian culture, if I'll be able to know based on, like, references they make or, like... You know, if they are making jokes, like, it's not just going to be like, oh, calculator? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll be a little more specific. And that shows me they're not just ignorant.
They're
good
not
or
pulling
bad.
It out of their pocket.
Yeah. Not even maliciously, but it shows me that, yeah. So definitely knowledge, exposure. Like, I think everybody just needs to see more things. Like, that'll make that'll fix everything if everybody just traveled a little, I think. Like, and just met people of different kinds. And
go to a melting pot of some kind.
Yeah, for sure. Huntsville's a very, very fun place for that, I think. Huntsville's a gem in Alabama, for sure.
How do you think Huntsville could get more Asian comics?
Because
I would also like to see more Asian comics.
Maybe doing more stuff with or at school related, you know, things more related to the school, just the younger demographic.
More opportunities to perform comedy in schools?
I don't know about in schools, but just at, because I think now a lot of the comedies just happen at bars or Shenanigans is the, Shenanigans Comedy Theater is the exception. But yeah, mostly at bars, so that's a specific crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Just going where the Asians would be, you know, and just
okay.
Which isn't bars, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to stereotype sometimes.
So I have a few questions that I ask everybody.
Okay.
And let's see. So the first one is, do you have any unique hobbies or hidden talents outside of comedy?
During the pandemic, I don't know how, but I got into building keyboards.
Pianos or
No. Computer keyboards.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know, your keyboard at home is a normal keyboard.
Mm.
Like the one I'm looking at the desk, it just has it.
It's lame.
It's lame. It's not fancy. It's just a little sheet of rubber. But there are keyboards where like each key is its own button.
Okay.
And it's a button that like makes a specific feel. Like it clicks. Mm-hmm. It's silent or like just smooth. Like. Real nerdy stuff. People lubricate their keyboard keys.
Wow.
Yeah. So pandemic really, really, I had too much time to sit around. More recently, it's like sort of cars. I got a van recently that I want to keep nice. So
yeah.
I've gone down that rabbit hole. It seems like every single thing in life there's a subreddit for and is just a money
is
sink.
Is that the truth?
Yes. So cars is now my thing.
What is a joke that you can tell on the air of yours that you like to perform?
Oh, Lord. Okay. Like, anyone here ever have COVID in their household?
Yes.
Oh, yep. So we did too, but I think my family was the best family it could have happened to, because when we heard 6 feet apart, no more than 30 minutes, we're like, oh, thank God, we don't do that anyways. Yeah, so... We were perfect. We're never in the same room. It
nice.
Didn't matter at all.
That kind of sounds like my family, too. Yeah. Who makes you laugh the most in your life? And you can say yourself.
Oh, the most in my life?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely Brandon Willis. Shout out Brandon Willis.
Why is that?
He just has a light about him. Like, kind of like Jalen. Like, they just both have... a way about them, like we've all gone through dark stuff, you know, but they are able to be who they are despite all that, and then so like they are just amazing human beings. I would just like to see them both like just function, like just I want to just be a fly on the wall and just watch them live life. Like they make me smile and giggle. Also, shout out Charles Hood.
Okay.
New comedian in town.
Ooh.
He's a little skinny feller. Just the way he is. He is so awkward, but he knows it. Like he'll wink at you, like not literally, but like he'll let you know that he's in on it.
He's not that awkward.
Yeah, no. Well, he is, but the thing is he is.
Like he's not awkward enough to wink at you.
No, he totally is.
Oh,
don't let me
undersell.
He would
wink
him.
At you.
Oh yeah, he would do. And yeah, he's a goofball.
This wink or no wink debate has gotten heated.
you'll have to have him on in the future and settle it. But yeah. Just the way he's able to take how he is and put that on stage is makes me endlessly tickles me.
Do you have any upcoming shows or projects that you'd like to talk about before we go?
Tomorrow night, Silver Dragon Comedy at St. Stephen's Music Hall at Straight to Ale. That's a fun, it's like a punk rock TGI Fridays.
Nice.
Just a lot of punk rock.
Lots of Grateful Dead.
Lots of Grateful Dead stuff. It's normally a music venue, obviously. But
shout out Evan Billiter.
Yep, Evan. Yep. Evan's awesome. John Chamness is the crap. Yeah, I'm good at censoring. But me and Jonathan Silver put on a show. Dom will be on it. Matthew Tate is on it.
Nice.
Raina Cahill's on it. It'll be a fun show.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming in, Alex. I'm glad to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, this was incredible. This was a great experience. Inspirational stuff for me and the podcast boys. Aspirational, I mean, probably.